Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier.
Hello and thank you for joining us. We are Computer and Technology Radio. I am Mark Cohen. She is Marcia Collier. And we're going to give you some great stories today all across the tech spectrum. So thank you for joining us. And how are you, Marcia?
Wow, good to see you, Mark. Not a whole lot in tech going on this week, but some interesting complaining about AI and some FCC announcements that I think are going to be great. And we're going to let you know how to do Wi-Fi calling and texting, which who thought you could do both of them?
And works
and
great,
Mark's
too.
Got a great buy of the week.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So we'll start the story. This is an interesting story. So apparently the CIA has allegedly, I say allegedly, because no one ever does, knows what the CIA does, launched a secret operation that's going to troll or that was trolling Chinese officials to turn public opinion against them by leaking intelligence and negative news on social media. Very interesting. Apparently began in 2019. It was aimed at causing paranoia between on the government of China. Reportedly, they made fake social media accounts that spread rumors like allegations the Communist Party hid ill-gotten gains outside the country, or they criticized the Chinese government initiatives like saying a program for financing infrastructure was corrupt. Now, the
well,
CIA...
Mark, that's all great, but we all know that the CIA has been doing this. We were going to talk about the fake antivirus software... lawsuit.
Okay,
hey,
that's really weird. You
know,
I don't know how.
We all know that the government and they're all,
yeah,
all
I don't
faking.
Know where I came up with that. That was, well, I guess yeah. that was, yeah.
Yeah, we
so
all
anyway,
know that. So, I mean, right. Yeah, fake antivirus software hit with FTC lawsuit. That's amazing. They were raking in millions. What about it? Where was this?
Well, it was millions of dollars, and apparently the Federal Trade Commission said two antivirus software products, Restoro and Reimagine, are actually fake products. They conned buyers out of tens of millions of dollars, according to a lawsuit filed by the government agency. Apparently, FTC investigators went undercover and bought the alleged malicious software four different times in all the instances. It told them that they had a host of viruses, security issues, things like that. And hey, guess what? It wasn't true. Reimagine scan found 1,244 so-called issues. They called that PC privacy issues or junk files or crash programs or broken registry things. But apparently they weren't real. And that's a big problem. You know, when you're buying antivirus software, you expect that it's going to work and not give you phony things. Well, apparently they allege that individuals behind the software were engaging in fraudulent behavior.
What a shock. Once you installed the software, I see, it prompted the user to call a phone number to activate the software.
Yeah.
The FTC says that was like part of the scheme because the phone call sends users to a person who tries to further upsell the customer on more computer repair service over the phone.
Yeah.
Typical,
really
typical, typical, and shocking. Well, I guess there's a new generation, and it is statistically true that a lot of the younger kids who are getting in tech now don't know a lot about these.
Right.
And people who've been on for a while, we're kind of used to it, so we stay away. But yeah, this is crappy.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. We're not in movies yet, but I watched a movie this week called Beekeeper with Jason Statham, which is exactly about how these horrible companies prey on usually elderly by, they get into your computer, it pops up on your screen and says, you have just been infested by malware. Call this number. And then they drain your bank accounts. So,
yeah, malware is a real problem. It really is.
Yeah,
A lot of times that AI, have you been noticing more and more AI apps?
Not so much. I haven't noticed that so much. I mean,
really?
They're all over the place.
Holy cow. I mean, yeah, I've seen them everywhere and I keep getting, asking permission to run this, run that. And I'm going, nope, nope, nope.
Yeah.
Well, it seems tinfoil hats aren't necessary.
What? Wait, what?
Not necessary. We are not alone. South by Southwest, which happens every year. And there's the interactive, there's the film and the music. And it's been going on for, must be decades, because I used to go. Anyway, they had a panel of people talking about AI, which, you know, okay, I get that. But they ran like a little commercial in between the panels. And they repeated it in between all the panels. And it was really a sizzle reel for how cool artificial intelligence is going to be. It talked about the new technology and how it's going to improve your life and how it's going to help you figure out how to become more efficient. Well, it seems that when they showed this video, the entire audience started to boo.
Yeah.
Not everyone seems is so convinced about AI that it's going to save everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were saying, it said Kara Swisher, who I admire, and she's a wonderful lady. She said stuff like, you need to stop resisting and start learning about AI. You need to, instead of something you have to resist, you have to, you know, you have to embrace this kind of thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
apparently. Right.
This is, Kara, I love you, but it's another shiny new object, and it's out of control already because Google has had some mistakes. There's been the thing with school kids' porn with their school chums' faces on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just gone crazy. So, yeah, I think we shouldn't be leveraging AI faster. We should be stepping slowly.
Well, did you read why she promoted it? Because she was promoting her new book, and apparently she got friendly with Sam Altman, the OpenAI chairman.
Of course.
You know, let's figure out how to make it more efficient. Okay.
Well, but this if you're on any social media panel, or if you're on LinkedIn right now, all you hear about is AI, AI, AI. And I was talking about it with someone, and they said, think about the drain on electricity and water just to run AI computers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you thought crypto was bad, think about AI. So, I'm not giving permission to anything right now on AI. I'm not clicking permission for Microsoft or Chrome to use it, and whatever is in there that I didn't have to ask permission about, but I'm not giving any permission until we need to know what this is doing and where the data is going and who's it being exposed to. Is it going to become part of somebody else's school project you know, doctorate thesis? I mean, that's crazy. And then that story from the FCC, which I thought was, story from the FCC.
FCC, right.
It seems you have a satellite, correct?
I have a micro dish.
Okay, you have a micro dish. So that comes from a satellite.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, according to FCC data, an estimated 45 million Americans get 35 up, 35 download and 3 upload, which mine isn't that crummy. Mine's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband and I tested our download, which was always high. And when we tested our upload, Mark, and we're on Spectrum, it was pretty miserable. We tried it on Hardwire. We tried it on Wi-Fi. You know, to be sure, it wasn't our Wi-Fi.
You're right.
No. We were getting like 12
That's
for upload.
Really odd. I mean, as we speak, I'm testing mine now. My download was 660 megabits, so it was very fast. And my upload, let's see, which is normally pretty decent.
As I said, you're on a satellite,
which is different. Right. Yeah,
it's not the same as the broadband that most people are getting.
Right.
And the FCC made this rule to define high broadband speed as 100 megabits per second for downloads and 20 megabits per second for uploads.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, we live in Los Angeles. We should have the right amount of megabits per second, and we do for downloads. But shame on Spectrum.
Yeah.
Spectrum's
well, that's not the
largest...
only complaint. Yeah, well, you hear a lot about Spectrum, people complaining about Spectrum.
But we're talking right now about the broadband metrics.
Right, right.
And people are supposed to be getting spectacular. Well, they're not even meeting the minimum standards from the FCC. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go to your browser, type in the word speed test. You don't even have to go to an app. Google will do a speed test right then and there. And basically, you pretty much only download all the time.
Yeah.
You don't do as much uploading.
Yep, that's true.
But you should have the power to upload quickly. And 20 megabits per second is not a big ask.
No,
and
it's not.
We were getting 11 and 12, which was ridiculous for what we pay.
Mm-hmm.
So their long-term goal, by the way, is 1 gigabit for downloads and 500 megabits for uploads.
Right.
So lots of ruck with that. I want to see how the FCC enforces it because for what we all pay for our internet, we should get our money's worth.
Well, you would think so. And mine's expensive, and I didn't have a choice. So I get great speed, but I pay a fortune for it.
Yeah, but you're on satellite. And that's
yeah,
not
it doesn't matter. I mean, you get what you can get wherever you get it.
Exactly.
You know, you don't always have a choice of getting what you want.
Exactly.
So, you know, so anyway, all right. And what is this about?
The Cybertruck?
Yeah, no, well, not Cybertruck. No, you had an Amazon, or did we already do that? Amazon AI tools?
Okay. Well, Amazon is jumping on the AI wagon. As I said, you know, you don't have to do much for the Amazon. As a matter of fact, eBay introduced AI descriptions, which I will grant you, when you use the AI to write a description, it's okay. It states all the facts that you've already put into the item details.
Mm-hmm.
And it just writes it into a paragraph. But realize that when you're making a product page, AI can't do the pitch that you can do if you're a marketer to sell a product. It just doesn't happen yet. So what Amazon is doing, they're going to build a product page for you from information on another website.
Right.
Which it makes sense. At least it's going to give factual information, hopefully. But please, if you're going to let Amazon or eBay or anyone write a description and you want to sell that product, go through it yourself. Do a little human editing. I mean, Amazon's AI product generation service sees nearly 80% of users accepting AI-generated listings with little human editing. I have to tell you, on Amazon, as well as eBay, and a lot of Poshmark, Mercari, there are a lot of crappy descriptions where, you know, it's a one-liner, basically. Mm-hmm. It's not good. Go through any AI descriptions in an e-commerce platform. It's fun to play with them. And sometimes if you use the AI, you get a little boost in visibility on the site. Mm-hmm. So use the AI. And then edit it to what you would like it to really say. I really recommend this because it's really not there right now.
Absolutely. All right. So the Cybertruck, you either hate it or you love it. I hate it. I think it's hideous. I think it looks like, as we've talked about, something out of Battlestar Galactica. Yet some of the things about it are pretty interesting. So the Cybertruck weighs over 6,000 pounds. That's a pretty heavy vehicle. It is a total of 6,603 pounds, but it, according to tests, handles somewhat like a sports car. It does 0 to 60 in.
Yeah, I think it handles like a sports car because it's an electric car.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, that right away gives you that 0 to 60.
Well, yeah,
whether you were driving
60,
a bus,
yeah,
or you know, or a car.
And for those of us who drive gas cars and pull up next to electric cars, we hate them. Because we've always prided ourselves on, you know, stepping on the pedal to the metal, as they used to say, and taking off and blowing everybody away.
Mark, I don't hate them at all. I laugh at them. Yes, well, you're faster, but I'm sitting here in my Corvette and I'll rev the engine a couple of times because I have a vintage Corvette. Yep. And man, that makes so much noise. And when you're driving it, you're lucky your fillings don't fall out from the vibration.
Yeah, right.
But you know the power of that car. Yeah, it won't go from 0 to 60 like an electric car, but the engine is powerful. So I don't hate them. I just laugh at them.
When they look at me. I mean, I get that. It's just, you may have seen the video where the Tesla blows away a Ferrari on the racetrack. I mean, that's just not right. I'm sorry.
I'd rather have a Lambo, really. But
yeah, well, there you go. Or any of those cars. But apparently it also doesn't have a gear shift. So you just flick it's a spinning glowing spear that just shifts the car for you. So, you know, we're used to gear shifts and things like that. There is no turn signal. You know, we're used to a little turn signal. They call it a stalk, whatever it is, where you flip it up or down. Well, apparently you activate the turn signals with two small buttons on the left side of the steering wheels. According to reports, the windshield wiper sucks, doesn't clean the windows. It takes some time to supercharge. It took over a half hour to go from, this isn't terrible. It took just a half an hour to go from 25 to 80%.
Well, it was interesting because the person who tested this car was Doug Newcomb, and he tested it here in Los Angeles on roads in Topanga Canyon, which I have to tell you, at best, Topanga Canyon is not an easy drive.
No, it is
it's
not.
It's up and down, around circles.
Yeah, windy.
You have no straight road going on.
Yep.
None of it. I don't even like driving it, but it's the best way to get to the beach.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Except now, because it's shut down because of the rains. But,
right.
You know, but other than
landslide blocking it, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. Now, while you're charging it, however, they put some games in the car. Old school Atari titles like Asteroids and Centipede, which you can watch on the 18.5-inch dashboard touchscreen. So while you're waiting for charge, I guess you can sit in the car. I don't know how much charging that takes
Excuse me, raising my hand here.
Yeah.
Why would you be using something in the car that burns the battery while you're trying to charge?
Yes.
Presumably
it doesn't take that much, but it's got to take something.
You got a phone. Play with your phone.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so there's a lot of things that
it has a digital whoopee cushion.
Yeah, that's cool, right? Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it has one.
It really does. The options on it include short shorts ripper, Falcon Heavy, Neurostink, along with an AI-assisted I'm So Random choice.
Yeah, and a romance option.
What?
It puts a virtual fireplace on the dashboard while you're driving. I mean, there's some cute things attached to it. But like I say, either you like the car or you hate the way it looks. And I'm just not a fan. What do you think of the looks?
Well, as the article says, get used to fingerprints.
Right.
And because my OCD goes really off the charts when I look at my refrigerator or the dishwasher. Or anything that I have, because I have stainless steel appliances.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always wiping them down. There's just always. And they say this is a real issue as well on the car, on the Cybertruck.
Yeah. I mean, here's one that's a little bit more frightening. Apparently, it's got blind spots all over the car.
Oh, well.
So the rearview mirror, according to this report, is virtually worthless. It's got a rear-facing camera so you can see behind the truck, but yeah, that's not good. This is something that for the ages have bothered people that have cell phones, fingerprints on their cell phones and on their iPads. Well, apparently the Cybertruck stainless steel body, which is cool. I mean, it's definitely cool looking.
It's very cool. I don't think it's cool looking, but I think stainless steel is cool looking. I mean, remember it on the DeLorean, I think the Cybertruck has stolen a little design.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But apparently it shows fingerprints and smudges more than a painted vehicle. I don't ever notice in my car, you know, my fingerprints other than on a window.
In charge of cleaning the kitchen at your house. Just go ahead and ask your wife about fingerprints on stainless steel.
Oh, bad. No, I'm sure that's that's true. But on cars, you don't notice it unless you're putting your fingers on the windshield. But apparently that's an issue on the car. It's definitely what they call the center of attention. I mean, there's no question. I saw one the other day, first one I've seen, and I've only seen it one time. And, you know, people gawk at you and look at it and decide, you know, whether, like I say, whether they hate it or love it. But there you go. So either go out and buy it. And I think... have you seen one actually on the road?
Yeah, Santa Monica, Yeah,
and I saw one. But like I say, some people really love it, so okay.
Yeah, you know what car I really love? You know,
which
if I was
one?
To pick I mean, aside from the Rolls Royce.
Yeah?
Is that Mercedes sport utility vehicle. Gosh, I love that. What a beautiful
a nice car.
Vehicle.
Mercedes is. Makes a really good car.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, okay. So
buying American.
You've been doing a million things on Pixel phones. What is call screening on Pixel phones and how is that different?
Well, I've been working on my new book, so henceforth I'm playing with 8 phones at once, which, believe me, is incredibly confusing because
I'm supposed
to write about the differences between the phones.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is an insane option. Have you ever called like a customer service line and they put you on hold?
No, that never happens.
Never happens, right?
No.
So what happens is, so this is called, it already has a pre-existing call screen feature.
Mm-hmm.
But this has a new hello button. Once you tap the hello button, the system deploys Google Assistant to speak on your behalf.
Okay.
The assistant will ask the caller why they're trying to reach you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to hear the response in real time.
Right.
If it sounds important, you can interrupt and begin the call. Mm-hmm. If not, you can just let Google Assistant keep talking to them and say goodbye.
Just keep having the conversation.
Yeah,
huh?
It's fine.
How's your day?
Yeah. It works. It's amazing. It's not on all phones right now. It's on Pixel. I'm sure it will be on others. But as you know, with Android, you never know if it'll make it to Samsung because
right.
Samsung has their own game going on top of Android. So
yep.
I think it's a very, very cool option.
Yeah, I think that is kind of nice.
I mean, yeah, because I don't like listening to the music and it will recognize music and it'll hold for you and let you know also when they come back on the line. So
yeah.
it's great.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. Also, you were going to talk about it. I've been using this for years, Wi-Fi calling, and it works pretty flawlessly. I'm up in an area, I've talked about this before, where I have no, Verizon just sucks up here. I get no cell service unless I use Wi-Fi calling. And once I'm on Wi-Fi calling, you wouldn't know the difference, wouldn't have any, you know, any sound issues or anything, and it works all the time.
So, well, this story is actually more about texting.
Well,
we've
yes, and texting as well.
Wi-Fi calling forever.
Right.
But Wi-Fi texting is new. This is something that hasn't been on an iPhone or an Android phone in the past. And previously, we only use, or at least I use WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use Skype that often. I mostly use WhatsApp.
Right.
For face calls, if I ever do them, I don't do them. But if I did, but texting and just in general. Now, remember that RCS texting from Google Messages will be coming to iPhone soon. I don't know how that's going to be, and I don't know how that's going to mess up everything, but I'm absolutely sure it's going to mess it up somehow.
Right.
Just to turn on Wi-Fi calling and texting on an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
you have to activate it. You go to your settings and select cellular. If you have multiple SIM cards, then you have to choose the line you want to enable Wi-Fi calling for. Then tap Wi-Fi calling and turn on Wi-Fi calling on this phone.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put your address for emergency services, because when you do that and when you're calling over Wi-Fi, I've noticed that on several phones, you have to input your street address for emergency services because generally you're going to be using Wi-Fi calling from your home.
Right.
And if you have to call 911, despite the stuff that's going on with the satellite and the locations and all the things they say happen. I think it's still safer to put your address in there.
Yeah, no, I think for emergency, you certainly want to do that.
Yeah. So according to Apple's support document for Wi-Fi calling, your device's location will also be used for emergency aid response. So the status bar on your phone will reflect that your calls and texts now will be routed through Wi-Fi. I think that's great. On Android phones, open settings, go to connections. Now, this is tricky because different phones say different things. The option might be labeled network and internet. If you see a Wi-Fi calling option, tap it. You'll be very lucky to find it because I've had trouble finding it. But I'm sure as the updates come through, the different phones will have it easily viewed. Or you can just search Wi-Fi calling in the search box of settings. Does an iPhone have a search box for settings?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes it so much better.
Oh, yeah. Just go into search box, type whatever you're looking for. It'll find it for you. Absolutely.
And by the way, you can even do this on flip phones. I don't think I'd want to be texting.
No, it's from A, B, C, C to be able to text. No, my wife has a flip phone and she doesn't text. Too difficult to do that.
Yeah, but little children should have a flip phone. And
yeah, probably.
That's the new thing. And I think that's a brilliant idea. So there you go. Now you don't have to. But basically, I use Google Voice. And that's the phone number I put on my business cards or any of my contact information, because that'll reach me at any number I happen to have. So, you know, that's important. I think it's very cool.
All right. Hey, and now is the time of the week of the show where we search the universe, the planets, and Amazon.com for our buy of the week. Thank you, Marcia. And I have to tell a little thing after I give this buy of the week, because this was very odd, and I think you can explain this as well, Marcia. The buy of the week is the Logitech C920X HD Pro web camera. It's full HD 1080p, 30 frames per second, video calling, stereo audio, HD light correction. It works with Skype, with Zoom, with FaceTime. Works on your PC, your Mac, your laptop. Works on everything. And again, I'm a big fan and have always been a big fan of Logitech.
Wait, and I have to tell you that I've been using this device since, I think, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best.
Yeah.
There are no better webcams than the ones made by Logitech in the C900 series.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
You may not need HD. You may have 720. They have a camera for that. They have all different ones. I have yet to have anything, a tablet or a laptop, that it hasn't connected to. There's no echo in the speakers. They've got that down flawlessly. And it's a great camera. So I have to tell you, I recommend this Logitech device massively.
Yeah, it's really good. So here's the interesting thing. So I found this yesterday. And of course, before we record the show, I always make sure that the price has not changed or that it's still available. So I went to look at it yesterday, and the price was $44.95. That's marked down from $69.99, right? So, and that's a great price. It's 36% off of the actual list price. And so this morning or this afternoon before we started the show, I looked at it again. It was $59.95.
I'm shocked. Down. I say, I'm shocked.
Well, wait, hold on. So I went, wait a minute, what's going on here? So I refreshed it again and it brought the price to $44.95. So if you look for this buy of the week and you find the prices are different, try refreshing it. Now, Marcia, why does that happen?
I just did it.
And what did you get? What price?
It turned into $44.95. Add to cart. Always use a spare one of those. Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
And did it show $59.95 until you refreshed?
Yes, it did.
Is that crazy?
That's insane.
Yeah.
So there's
an Amazon tip
of the day, folks. You don't like the price? Refresh the screen.
You refresh until you find the price that you actually like. Is that a crazy thing? And I don't know what they're doing over there. But again, Logitech C920X HD Pro webcam on sale, assuming you refresh at the right point.
I'm seeing it. I just checked my cart. It's in there for $44.95.
Yeah, so make sure that's the price you pay for it. And that's great. It's got over 18,000 reviews, four and a half stars. And that is our buy of the week. I'm just going to keep refreshing it and see if it keeps changing the price.
Yeah, let me know. Does it get cheaper?
Yeah. Now it's $12. Hurry. Hurry up and buy it.
But I can't say enough about the Logitech webcams.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
I even have their conference cam where I can have a whole panel of people and the camera focuses. It's amazing.
Yeah, well Logitech made. All their products, their keyboards, their mice, everything is great.
But we're talking here about webcams. They've been the leader, and their video, the stereo audio, the light correction. I don't need to care about the lighting in my room. The camera does it for me.
Exactly.
And seriously, I am buying a second one for a different laptop, a different location, because these things never go out of style.
No, they're great.
What's the connector on this thing, Mark? Is it?
I did not look that far into it. I assume it's a USB connection, but I have not looked.
Yeah, it says USB, but is it USB-C, USB?
If it just says USB, then it's just a USB. Yeah, it's just probably just a USB, not a USB-C.
Well, that would be USB-A.
Yeah, just a standard USB connection on there. Anyway, so that was it.
Not what it's called.
Okay, Apple Pay, which I use, Google Pay, which I don't know if you do use.
Yeah.
Are they more secure than credit cards?
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I have not ever had an issue. One thing is freaking me out a little bit lately. If I use my Apple card, I go to a restaurant and I give them my credit card and I pay the bill. Within 5 seconds, it's popped up on my screen to show me that I just spent $44.27, literally instantly. So as soon as they run it, you are immediately alerted to what you did,
which I think is a good thing
because it tells you, wait a minute, I didn't just do that. So, no, I think they're secure. I think they're fine. I don't know. What do you think?
I seriously love it. I like Google Pay. I use it online a lot. I use it online like I use PayPal. I don't really use it in a store because, frankly, I don't go to a whole lot of stores that, I go to Amazon Fresh. I mean, I am just... maybe I go to Walgreens sometimes, but I really, really don't.
Yeah.
I have to worry about it. And I think it's great and it keeps your information and it keeps it super safe too, which is what's really important.
I mean, Apple doesn't even take your full credit card number. Apparently Google Pay does keep the number stored on their site.
Yes, they do.
But Apple doesn't do that, which is nice. So I think it's good. I think it works well and, I use it all the time. And it's not, frankly, I have an Apple Watch. So when I go to, and almost everybody takes it now, all I have to do when I go up to the data thing, I don't even need a credit card anymore. I just click twice and it automatically runs my Apple credit card through the monitor, through their little device.
Wait a minute, Mark, because I was trying to figure out how Apple Pay worked without your full credit card number. You have to add a full credit card number to the service when you sign up for
Apple Pay. Remember, it's an Apple card that you're using, although you don't have to use an Apple card. You can use, I think you can use your, your MasterCard.
You can use any card. And in that case, you have to add the full card.
Yeah, I don't know. This says they don't keep your full credit card number. So we'd have to look more into that.
It says when you first add a card to either service,
you
have to put in the full number. They verify it at that time.
Right.
And then in the future, it transmits the token for that card over NFC.
Correct.
Instead of the actual credit card number.
Yeah.
So, they have your actual, because I don't want people to think, because I hear from people all the time, this is an email I just got. I went to get a new phone and they wanted my social security number.
Right.
Well, surprise, surprise. They're going to do a credit check on you when you buy a new phone.
Exactly.
So they're going to need your social security number. So no, you will have to give your credit card number.
There you go. Okay. So we're almost out of time. So let's get some movies and TV in. Top streaming of the week. A lot of the same stuff.
You do the movies. These are February 29th through March 6th.
Okay, number one, Dune. Still can't bring myself to watch it, but I've been told it's good. Oppenheimer, which just
Oppenheimer is great. It won Best Picture. It's the best movie in the whole world.
Best actor, best, you know, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Past Lives, Spaceman, which was just awful.
Is that the one where he talks to a spider?
Yep, that's the one.
Oh, great. No,
you know,
I'm not
love Adam Sandler.
It.
This one, I'm sorry. Napoleon, which is on Apple TV Plus.
I hear it's beautiful and wonderful cinematography, but I was never a fan of Napoleon. So.
Nor was I. Nor was
I.
Short guy. The Holdovers, which the lead actress just won an Academy Award for that. Excellent movie.
I saw that this past week. How wonderful that
movie
is. It's really unfortunately named, and I think the poster is stupid because it really doesn't sell what the movie is.
No, it's a wonderful
movie. If you
movie.
Remember something called Good Will Hunting back
in
the
great
day.
Movie.
Yeah, it's kind of, right? It's kind of like something like that.
Yeah.
So watch it. You'll like it.
Excellent. Dune, the original. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Is a wonderful movie.
It's a wonderful movie, 3.5 hours worth.
I'm not watching that.
Aquaman. I just watched this yesterday. It was fine. You know, it was fine. I mean, half the time I couldn't tell who was killing each other. You know, there's so much is underwater and there's stuff going on. It was fine. You know, it's mindless entertainment for 2 hours. And All of Us Strangers, which I do not know a thing about.
And All of Us Strangers is on Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu.
Now,
what do you got on TV?
TV shows streaming. Number one is Shogun.
Yeah, still can't get into it.
Which we're still batting back and forth at my house whether we want to watch this one or the one from 30 years ago or so with Richard Chamberlain, which was lauded, won every award.
That was a great one.
This one, from the reviews, it's not going to win as many awards as the first one.
No,
so
probably not. It was okay.
We're deciding
which
one to watch.
I didn't get far enough to give a real opinion.
So if you've got a real, you know, lots of time on your hands, you can do a compare to contrast. The other one is probably about the same length of time. So there you go.
There you go.
Second one is The Regime on Max. And
that
I don't know anything about that.
I don't either, but it looked interesting.
A Resident Alien on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have not seen that. Constellation on Apple TV.
Haven't seen it.
We started it up. We didn't even make it 5 minutes.
Ah, okay.
So I love space stuff.
Yep.
But
yep.
Don't give me ridiculousness.
No, right.
That's all. The next one is number five is The Tourist on Netflix.
Here it's good. Haven't seen it.
Number six is Elsbeth.
I love that show.
I love Elsbeth. Yep. I've been watching it. Now, what was she on before? She was a character.
The Good Wife. Yeah.
Yes.
And she's wonderful. And the new show, there's been one episode and then it premieres in April again.
She's a little bit, you know, got issues.
But she's kind of Columbo, if you remember the TV show Columbo.
I don't think it's on the list. But Will Trent, to me, is very much like
that's a good show. Yeah.
Monk. Remember Monk, the TV series?
Yeah, I didn't watch Monk, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he was very much like that. Yeah. And then number seven is The Last Airbender.
Yep, I haven't seen it.
Because remember, these are investments in six shows.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Eight is True Detective Night Country.
Still haven't gotten into it. I've seen 1.5.
Number nine is Masters of the Air, which is spectacular.
Yeah, you liked it. I couldn't get into it, but I know you liked it.
I love it. Number 10 is Tracker.
Good show.
And I have a new one that we started, and it's killing me to finish it. It's fabulous. It's brilliant. It's everything. And it's called The Gentleman.
Oh, and I watched it and I loved it.
It was wonderful. Did you remember I told you to watch it? And
did you use
the closed captioning?
You know, I think I might have in that. I can't quite remember. I think you're right.
Real heavy English accent.
It does.
So I recommend that everybody use the closed captioning because, and just so in case you didn't know, Grey's Anatomy fans, it is back on Thursday nights on broadcast TV, and I'm sure it's streaming. So don't forget about that.
Yeah.
So, lots of things to do. Lots of work.
Yep. Thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the show. Tell your friends. Find us on everywhere. Facebook, and all the other things. And thank you for being with us. We'll see you next weekend.
This is Marcia Collier and Mark Cohen. We'll be here for you next week. We'll be here for you the following week. Tell your friends. Send us something on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. In the meanwhile, goodbye and have a great weekend. Week.
You've been listening to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier, produced by Brain Food Radio Syndication, Global Food for Thought.